This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. How safe is walking in the U.S., and how can we go about providing adequate resources for pedestrian infrastructure so that walking is a viable alternative to car travel for U.S. citizens? To help answer these questions, I have as my guest Barbara McCann, Executive Director of the National Complete Streets Coalition and a member of Transportation for America. Barbara McCann is here today to tell us about the 2011 Transportation for America Pedestrian Safety Report, titled Dangerous by Design. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you.
What is the purpose of your report, Dangerous by Design?
Well, it's really to highlight the problem of pedestrian safety in the United States. More than 47,000 Americans have been killed as pedestrians in the U.S. in the last 10 years, and that's a tremendous toll in our country. And one of the issues is that it just doesn't get the attention that motorist deaths get. And so the report is really about highlighting what we can do to make things safer. And the reason for the title, Dangerous by Design, is that we're really looking at what we can do with street infrastructure, what we can do to make the streets themselves safer for people walking.
How do pedestrian fatalities compare with total traffic deaths?
Well, about 12% of total traffic deaths are pedestrians. And the infrastructure piece of this that's a little daunting is that of all of the transportation money spent in the United States, or federal transportation money, only 1.5% of that money goes to pedestrian safety. So there's a real disconnect in terms of the portion of people killed and the amount of attention given to the issue.
Well, you've been alluding to this, but how much consideration is given to pedestrian safety in the U.S. overall?
It tends to take a backseat to moving traffic as quickly as possible. Most of the United States, the policy really has been to try to move that traffic and get rid of impediments. That's changing, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. But that approach to road design has really left people who are walking or taking the bus, which of course involves walking, really without a safe place to do so. Often on major roadways, they're just tramping through the grass. There's not even so much as a sidewalk. And that creates a really unsafe environment in a place where we know there's going to be people walking. So it's something that really deserves a lot more attention than it gets now.
What has been done to reduce pedestrian deaths and injuries?
Well, in safety overall, there's been a real focus on the individual elements like airbags in automobiles and some of the technologies that have really done tremendously in reducing automotive deaths. Over the last 10 years, people who've been killed in cars and crashes has gone down by 27%. Well, the pedestrian death rate has also gone down. It's only gone down by 14%. And what we need to see is an attention not just to those individual types of protective elements, but really, how can we make the entire environment safer? And so for pedestrians, in an automobile, you're inside the car, right? And you have your cup holder, you have your CD player, you have your airbag, right? It's all very individual, focused on the car and the vehicle. A person walking is out on the street. Maybe they have their iPod, but otherwise they're really relying on the environment to provide them with comfort and protection. And so that's why we need to pay attention to our streets to provide that safety for people. And that means we need to often slow down traffic to some degree so that if there is a crash, it is less serious and so that it's more comfortable for pedestrians. We need to provide sidewalks. We can put in what are called pedestrian bulb outs, where it puts a pedestrian out into the intersection a little bit more when they're crossing the street and provides them with more protection. Refuge islands is another thing that's often done where pedestrians can stop halfway through a crossing and only have to deal with traffic going one direction at a time. So there's lots and lots of things that can be done. And happily, some of those things are happening in Seattle and in places around the country, and we really are seeing that death rates and injury rates are going down because of some of those innovations.
How did you gather the data for your report, Dangerous by Design?
Well, it's really based on two things, on what's called the FARS, the Fatality Accident Reporting System, put together by NHTSA, which just records all the fatal crashes in the United States, and then the American Community Survey, which is a census data, which really records how much walking goes on. It looks at how many people walk to work. And what we do is, well, New York City has one of the highest pedestrian death rates in the country, but a large part of that is because they have by far more people walking than anywhere else. So we created the Pedestrian Danger Index in order to be able to look at it both in terms of the number of people walking and the number of people who are hit and who are killed. So the most dangerous places are those that have the least walking, yet the highest death rate, and of course, vice versa.
What are the limitations of your Pedestrian Danger Index?
Well, one of the biggest limitations, and this is actually a little bit of a commentary back on your earlier question about what is being done, there's not enough counting of what's happening with pedestrians. So the American Community Survey is a very rough estimate of the amount of walking. It's based on commuting, and your primary commute mode is walking. So it's not a very good representation about how much other types of walking are going on. And the only really good statistics we have about pedestrian crashes are fatalities. We don't have good national statistics about injuries, which, of course, are far, far more common, and many, many more people are being injured and then paying medical bills and on and on and on. So we need more information about that. So those are some limitations. And because of that, the American Community Survey, we're only able to look at it at this sort of mega regional level. For example, what we shorthanded is the Seattle ranking on this report, but it's actually Seattle, Tacoma, Bellevue, right? So it's a huge area that's covered by this one statistic because that's just all the information that we have. We're only able to do the Pedestrian Danger Index in really the large metropolitan areas.
Based on the Pedestrian Danger Index, which metropolitan areas are the safest?
Well, really, the safest areas are places that are marked by more compact urban form and just really better facilities overall. And they include Boston, New York, as I mentioned before, Minneapolis, Cleveland, some places that really have a city core that was originally built more to serve pedestrians.
And which metropolitan areas are the most dangerous?
Well, conversely, they are places that tend to have been built in the era when we really were building primarily for beating traffic. And the top four areas are all in Florida, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, and the Miami region. The fifth is Riverside, San Bernardino, California, which is really the epitome of the bedroom community with lots of major arterial roads dividing very contained subdivisions, where once you leave the subdivision, you're dealing with six or eight lanes of traffic, not very good facilities for walking and biking, and really just not a very good environment.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Barbara McCann, Executive Director of the National Complete Streets Coalition and a member of Transportation for America. Our topic is the 2011 Pedestrian Safety Report, Dangerous by Design. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. How does the Seattle area rate in pedestrian safety? And just so listeners know, a ranking of 1 indicates the most dangerous pedestrian areas and a rating of 50, the safest.
Well, the Seattle area is, and this is again, Seattle, Tacoma, Bellevue, ranks 46th in our ranking of large metropolitan areas. So that's pretty good, and it's an indicator of, I think, some of the investment that started to take place in Seattle. Of course, this is a 10-year ranking, so we're talking about a 10-year time frame. But really, since 2006, Seattle itself has had a complete streets policy and has been working for increased pedestrian safety in all of its projects. And quite a number of other jurisdictions in the region and in the state have adopted this approach and are seeing real improvements in safety as a result.
Would you like to elaborate on complete streets?
So a complete streets policy is a commitment that's made by a jurisdiction to think about the needs of everyone who will be using the roadway as future transportation projects come up. And this seems a little bit obvious, but it's really not something that's been happening. And traditionally, in most places, roads are designed for traffic, and then as an afterthought, oh, gosh, you know, there's a school on one side and a housing subdivision on the other. Geez, maybe we need to let the kids get across the street. This really puts that type of consideration front and center, where the transportation planners and engineers are thinking about really do an assessment of who will be using this road, what mode will they be using, might there be heavy bus traffic on the street, so people are going to need to cross the street when they get on and off the bus every single day. Is there a senior center nearby and an older adult's housing so that they need to be sure to have enough time to cross the street and good sidewalks, that sort of thing. And so as projects come up, the jurisdiction, the transportation planners and engineers are able to use lots of different pieces in their toolbox to make sure that that road works for whoever is going to be along that roadway. And there's lots of different ways to adopt policies. There are sort of internal directives that departments do. There are also ordinances and laws. Seattle has a particularly strong Complete Streets Ordinance that was adopted in 2007 after initially a Complete Streets measure was included in the Bridging the Gap measure from 2006, and then it was codified into an ordinance in 2007. Tacoma also has a very, very strong Complete Streets Design Manual that's just recently been adopted. And there's a number of other smaller cities across the region that have adopted this approach, so it's very encouraging to see that kind of commitment. And one of the nice things about a Complete Streets policy is it's not about finding new money. And as we know, new money is hard to come by these days. It's about taking existing funds and just making sure that you're planning right and that you're thinking through the needs of all the different users as projects come up. And then systematically, as time goes on, you start to fix things that had been neglected in the past.
Well, Seattle got a good rating for pedestrian safety, but what do you see as the weaknesses for Seattle in pedestrian safety compared to other areas?
Well, I did grow up in Seattle, so I have some familiarity with it. And in fact, I grew up in Burien, where my sister still teaches in the Highline School District. And there's still lots and lots of suburban areas that were built really for traffic rather than for people, yet there are people out there walking. So there's a tremendous amount of retrofitting to be done, and that's the big challenge. It'll take quite a while to really go back and fix all that. One of the interesting things to watch in Seattle itself is there has been a project to make some improvements along Aurora, and it's certainly not a perfect situation. It's still a really major automobile arterial, but the city has installed new crossings, put in some better bus plazas, really done some redesign along the roadway. And the total number of crashes in the segment there on the north side where this was done has dropped by 21%. That's not pedestrian crashes. That's all crashes. So what we see is that these kinds of improvements benefit not just pedestrians, but also all users. And actually, another thing I should mention about Seattle that's really great is that Seattle has experimented quite a bit and has installed quite a few road diets, which is where you take a four-lane undivided roadway, or the most classic way to do it anyway, turn it into a three-lane roadway with a center turn lane, two through lanes, and then bicycle lanes along the side. These road diets are proving to be an incredible safety bonanza all across the country. They have cut crashes between 18 and 48%. And that's true for all crashes. It stops a lot of the really dangerous T-bone crashes for automobiles and then also really improves both the pedestrian and bicycle environment. And Seattle's been a pioneer in installing those. And while people initially are worried that it'll slow things down, the time cost to drivers is usually less than 1 minute, which is a price that makes sense to pay when we're talking about people's lives.
Would you say more about the role that speed of auto traffic plays in pedestrian safety?
Well, speed really is a really important thing to address, because the faster that cars are going, the much more likely you are to be killed if you are hit as a pedestrian. If a car is going over 40 miles an hour, you're almost certain to be killed. If the car is going 25 or less, you have much greater chance of simply being injured, which, of course, you don't want either to happen, but it really does make a big difference in survivability. And it makes a big difference in comfort as well for people who are walking along the road.
To what extent are efforts being made in various metropolitan areas in the country to reduce the speed limit in the city?
Well, reducing the speed limit is a tough one, because when we've built these arterials, there's been a philosophy of building roads in a forgiving manner, which is done on freeways, to make sure that if drivers make a mistake, there's enough room for them to make a correction and get back in their lane. It works really well on freeways and makes them very safe places for drivers. But it doesn't work so well on arterials. And there's been some new research that finds that if you combine a major roadway that has lots of driveways and crossings and lots going on with this forgiving design, people drive too fast for conditions. And those are visual cues that are given to the driver. The sign may say 35 mile an hour, but if the road is designed so it feels safe, it's nice and wide and there's lots of room, feels safe to go 50, people will go 50. And so really the thing to do is not to simply lower the speed limit. It's to design the road so that the design speed is the speed at which you want people to travel. And this is a big philosophical change that's happening all over the country.
Which demographic groups are most likely to be killed as pedestrians if you look at age, ethnic minorities, and income?
Unfortunately, the older people, Hispanics, African Americans, and children are all overrepresented in pedestrian death statistics. In Washington State, we actually have on Transportation for America's website, you can look up a Washington State fact sheet that gives more information about what's happening in Washington State. And the death rate in Washington for older adults is 2.85 per 100,000, whereas the general population, I would say, is 1.1. For African Americans, it's 1.79 per 100,000, and for Hispanics, it's 2.32 per 100,000. So we really do see an overrepresentation by those populations. Older adults, of course, are more fragile, a little more vulnerable on the roadway, also often have trouble getting across the road in a timely manner because lights are not timed in a way that accommodates them. A lot of lower income people are out walking more because they tend to be more reliant upon needing to take the bus or riding their bicycles. They may not be able to afford a car or not be able to drive it all the time. And so they are more out there in terms of being in places where they absolutely must get where they need to go, and the roads are incomplete. They don't work for them.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Barbara McCann, Executive Director of the National Complete Streets Coalition and a member of Transportation for America. Our topic is the 2011 Pedestrian Safety Report titled Dangerous by Design. What public policy steps can be taken to improve pedestrian safety? What are your recommendations?
On the policy recommendations, one of the things is something that's already happening extensively across Washington State, which is to adopt complete streets policies. And we know these policies work best when they're happening at many different levels, where they're happening at the local level, at the regional level, at the state level, and then also at the federal level. And there's lots and lots of city policies across Washington State, and we're really encouraged to see that. We are really working on a federal complete streets measure. And as you may know, the federal transportation authorization bill is way overdue, partly because of a money situation. But we are hopeful that when that bill does come up, and it could be coming up sometime in the next couple of months, that a complete streets measure will be a part of it, because we know it's a very cost-effective way to save lives using our transportation dollars. So we have introduced the Safe and Complete Streets Act in the U.S. House and Senate. The House bill is H.R. 1780. The Senate bill is 1056, and we really would like to have support for inclusion of those in the transportation authorization. The second recommendation I would make is to continue, again, on the federal level, to continue to dedicate transportation funding to bicycling and walking. And there's been some talk in Congress about eliminating or that this somehow is not in the federal interest. Well, we know from our study that 67% of all pedestrian fatalities in the last 10 years have occurred on federal aid roads that are eligible for federal spending. So we know this is in the national interest. We know it's costing us in money and lives, and it would be simply really foolish to eliminate the funding that helps make that happen. And it really wouldn't do much to help anyway. The funding dedicated to biking and walking right now is less than 2% of the total federal transportation bill, and so it would not really help very much in terms of our overall deficit problems, but would hurt much more in terms of lives and, again, the medical costs associated with these crashes.
Are there additional measures that you would recommend including for pedestrian safety in the next federal transportation bill?
Well, one of the very successful programs in the bill has been the Safe Routes to School program, which helps create safer places for kids to walk, as well as providing encouragement for kids to get out and get that physical activity and making sure that there's good enforcement measures around schools and that sort of thing. And it's been hugely successful. So continuation of that program is another important element. And I think overall we're looking for a transportation bill that starts to fix some of the long-standing problems that we've seen with our federal transportation investments. These roadways that simply do have this goat track tramped in the grass next to them and really are hostile places for many people in the community. We really need to fix that. And the transportation bill is an opportunity to make sure our investments start to do that.
What are some notable success stories in the U.S. of efforts to improve pedestrian safety?
Well, I mentioned the situation along Aurora Boulevard, which is a very nice one. There have been lots and lots of great work done on improving pedestrian safety. One of the interesting things is it's about more than simply making it safer for people walking and biking, because we want to not only make it safe in a basic way, which is kind of what the Aurora Boulevard changes did. We want to really attract people to walking and biking, and that's partly because of all the health benefits that we see from people who are out getting their physical activity as part of everyday activity. And we know from the health research now that this is just essential for keeping people healthy and fighting the obesity epidemic and all of that. So it's really about encouragement as well. And one of the interesting stories there is in South Carolina, they were building a major freeway bridge in Charleston over the Cooper River, and there was a huge battle because it was for automobiles, and that's what the state DOT was going to do. There was a lot of pressure to include access for people on foot and bicycle. They did finally concede and put in a pedestrian pathway, thinking, well, you know, we'll see how much use this gets. Well, 2 weeks after it opened, it was one of the most popular destinations for people going out and getting exercise. And they had to open up a parking lot for people who are actually driving to it in order just to go back and forth. And a health study later on, after the path was put in, found that 2/3 of the people using it were getting more exercise than they used to get. So we're talking about not simply stopping a bad situation, but creating roadways that will really get more people out biking and walking, that will get more people out of their cars, so it can be a measure that can help a little bit with traffic management, and really will improve safety, improve health. There are a lot of different benefits to designing roads differently.
How does pedestrian safety in the U.S. compare with other developed countries?
Well, it's not as strong as in a lot of other countries, where there has been much, much more emphasis on making sure that pedestrians are safe. So among industrialized nations, the United States does not rank very highly. And we've seen a lot of European countries actually take on a zero death pledge, where they're really thinking through how to make things safer, really to get to a point where there's no traffic deaths at all. So that means really reaching in terms of what you do for pedestrian safety. So that's something that we really need to emulate. And one of the interesting things is there's much, much higher pedestrian rates in these countries, but much lower levels of death.
What do you consider the key findings of your report, Dangerous by Design?
Well, I think the really key finding is that pedestrian safety deserves much more attention, and that a lot of it has to do with design. It's not about just teaching people to look both ways. It's about designing our roads so that they are safe for everyone, and that we can systematically, with complete streets policies, make investments that create safer roads and that we can reduce the toll of these fatalities.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I guess I'd really like to enlist their help in insisting that transportation planning be taken on differently, and that we include the needs of pedestrians in our transportation investments. We need to tell our members of Congress, as they work on the transportation authorization, that we need to see a complete streets policy, that pedestrian safety is an important element of the federal transportation program. And then I think on the state and local level, those same messages can be delivered to the transportation planning and engineering profession, and of course to elected officials. There's actually lots of support in the profession. Our coalition, the National Complete Streets Coalition, is made up of groups that use the transportation system, such as AARP, American Public Transportation Association, America Bikes, but also practitioner organizations, such as the Institute of Transportation Engineers, the American Planning Association, And they would really like to be able to do this, and they need to have that public support in order to really turn our transportation system around and move things in a different way. And I would invite people to, as well as looking at the Dangerous by Design report, and it has a very cool map, actually. We didn't get to talk about that, but you can put in an address and see all the pedestrian fatalities in your neighborhood with the map. So I recommend that as something to look at. And I'd also invite people to visit CompleteStreets.org and see the many resources that we have there about how to keep track of what's going on in your community and get involved a little bit with how to make roads safer for everybody.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Barbara.
Sure. Thank you.
You have just been listening to Barbara McCann, Executive Director of the National Complete Streets Coalition and a member of Transportation for America. For more information, check on the web at www.t4america.org, where you can download a free copy of the 2011 Dangerous by Design report. Again, that's T and then the numeral 4, America.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.